Buck, who's on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
Carrie Wood.
Hey, Carrie.
Welcome to the jungle.
All right. Now, we're very excited around here about our Chicago Cubs right now because I went to the game last night, and I ended up in the company seats, which were
stellar, I heard.
Yeah, pretty rocking. And the and I got to watch John Lester, John Lester is a pretty amazing fellow to watch pitch a baseball game. Because he just, and Carrie will be able to explain the mechanics of that. I didn't really understand it. But the guy is still throwing in the mid-90s after 100 pitches. I don't know how that happened.
And he's fired up. He brings the excitement to the mound.
Right. That is all true.
You couldn't pick a better game to go last night. It was a great, great display of what John Lester can do and why we got him. He came out of the gate throwing 94. 95 spotting fastballs and his nasty little cutter that he has, and he just stayed strong the entire game. And sole reason we won that game last night was John Lester. He just put the team on his back and went to work. He is everything he's expected to be.
And then this this Tom Ricketts guy came and sat next to me.
Was there an extra seat, or just sort of butt kick somebody out?
Actually, it was Tom Ricketts going, "You're in my seat," is basically I think what happened there.
No problem.
Yeah. And I got an opportunity to say something to Tom Ricketts last night, Carrie, that I've been waiting a number of years to say.
Awesome.
Which is, I take back everything else I said about you, which is exactly what I said to him. Because
he's doing a lot right.
I have loved Tom and his family since they bought the team, and I think they are great for Chicago. There's just no two ways around that, despite what Donald Trump said. But I think that, when Theo Epstein said in 2011 or whatever, well, you know, it's a 5-year thing, it's a wait. And I think as Cubs fans, everybody got like, oh, come on. Yeah. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. We wanted immediate magic. And so there was frustration, and I was short sighted and impatient. And because now look what's happened.
You weren't sure that they were going to do what they're doing in that right. time frame. And I think a lot of people were skeptical, but look at what's happened.
Exactly.
And it's happened quicker. I mean, it's better for him to say, hey, in 3 years we're going to be great, and then we weren't. That would have been really bad. So he threw the 5-year mark out there. We undershot that, and the team is just rocking and rolling. Won another series today, 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers. Jake Arrieta's on fire. Lester's on fire. Hendricks is probably just as hot. He threw another great game today, 8 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs. He's sitting at a 2.84 ERA, and he's only got 4 wins, but he could have 7. There's two or three other games earlier in the season that he could have got wins where he got a no decision or got a loss. So this team is just going, and it's nice to see Hayward go deep today and get some power. Maybe we can get his power back going. But the guys hit 4 homers today, and the ball was flying around the yard.
Well, Carrie, and you see the dominant pitching up and down the rotation. Hamill and Lackey have been great as well. Do pitchers feed off each other? You know, if they're trying to maybe one-up each other, or even the flip side, if pitchers aren't going well, does that rub off at all on your fellow pitchers?
Absolutely. You go in streaks and you feed off each other. When the team's playing the way they're playing, it just feeds and feeds, and you just get more confident and more confident and more confident. And from the starting staff-wise, absolutely, these guys compete in a good way with each other. They're not trying to upstage the other person, but they want to compete and they want to go duplicate what the guy did the night before. And they've got a big act to follow just about every night through this rotation. So it keeps them on their toes. These guys are hungry, and they're chasing one another, and it's fun to watch.
Carrie, let's talk about the All-Star game. Fan balloting ends end of the month, but is it true the Cubs could potentially have 6 starters in the All-Star game? Could be the American League versus basically the Cubs. If that happens.
I don't see why not. I think Rizzo's leading all the National League in votes. I think Bryant, Zobrist, and Russell are leading in their positions, and I think Fowler's either leading in his or he's in second in his position. So
and Hayward's in fourth, and Soler's in sixth. Even Montero's in third for catcher voting as well.
No way!
I want Ross! Where's Ross?
There should be some sort of social media campaign for Grandpa Ross.
Yeah! What him?
You keep talking about it enough social media, they'll get it done.
So
enough
true.
Cubs fans all over the country, they'll get that done.
That's the other thing I want to ask you about in the social media world. I know you were part of that. Twitter was taking off, and now it seems like all the players are, they're out on Twitter. They're talking to fans. They talk to their critics. I know Arrieta has done that. Opposing team fans who want to, take shots at them. I don't know. How do you manage all that as a player? What would you say is the best way to deal with that?
I didn't do it. I chose to not do it. It came at the end of my career, the Twitter and the social media came towards the end, and I had hard enough time focusing on getting guys out, so I didn't need any extra off-the-field stuff to worry about and checking Twitter and all this stuff. These guys do it. They communicate with the fans. The fans love it. They interact with the fans, and it's great for baseball, and it's great for the organization. It's great for these players and their brands, and I think it's just great all around. They handle it well, and, mm-hmm. and like you said, some guys choose to get into altercations with fans and handle it the right way, and I see around the league other guys do it, and they don't handle it as well. So, I think we've got a good grasp on it, but these guys, they use it well, and I think the fans appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's a very specific skill.
It is.
You know, we're talking about the All-Star game. I'm curious about this. Is it for baseball players? You played in two of them. Is it something where if you played in a number of them, if you're like a guy who's consistently getting voted A-Rod, people like that consistently get voted in, does it become a hassle because it's the one period of time in the center of the season where you're able to kind of get away from the game?
You know, I think the perennial guys that are there every year, I think those guys probably would like a day or two off in that All-Star break. But again, they're used to it. I think it just becomes part of their schedule and part of their season. I made it twice, so I was excited. And obviously it's an honor every time you're voted in by your peers and by the fans. And so I think it's an honor, and you should look at it that way. But I know that guys get their couple of bats. The guys that have been there for 10 or 12 times, they get their couple of bats in, and a lot of times those guys are gone before the game's over. So
wheels up. There was A-Rod's jet goes right
bye-bye.
Over your head.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just
lot.
The game, though. It's the festivities. It's the home run derby the night before, and the practicing, and then you're in a room for like 3 hours and signing, balls and bats and jerseys, which is great because everybody wants their All-Star stuff signed. So there's just thousands of things to sign. So these guys they put a lot of time in that All-Star break where the rest of the league gets 2.5, 3.5 days off. The guys that are at the All-Star game every year are put to work a little bit. They get about a day. And on that day off, they're usually traveling back to where they're going to start the second half. So it can be taxing, but it's obviously an honor.
Hey, Kerry, real quickly touching on the South side, they finally got a series win. First series win in nearly a month. First road series win in over a month. As a result of losing 15-19, some White Sox fans, of course, calling for Robin Ventura's job.
Oh, gosh.
Do you think there needs to be a change there? And what does that do for a clubhouse when a manager does become on the hot seat?
I think it's a direct reflect. First of all, no, I don't think it needs to be a change. I think it's too early for that. And I think everybody was singing their praises, 10, 12 days
right.
ago. Everything was great.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just kind of the way the baseball season goes.
See, Robin's a genius. All his critics were idiots, right? And then, whoop.
I do know I didn't check the White Sox this week. I will tell you that. I don't know. The Cubs are a lot more fun to watch. Sox were going through a rough stretch. And, poor Robertson. I know him and play with him in New York, and he had a rough couple games trying to close them out, and that always hurts when you lose those late ones, and those tend to carry over the next day. So they'll pop out of it. They'll get out of it. Get Abreu to stop swinging at everything.
Right.
It looks like
he's pressing a little bit right now.
Looks like he's guessing a little bit. He's kind of in between. So it's just get some guys back on track. You get a couple of hits to fall, and you win a game. Maybe come back and sneak a win you shouldn't win one late and kind of get the momentum going back the other way. These guys will be fine.
So when a guy is going through that from a pitcher's perspective, all right, so now you're up on the mound and you got a guy who's a monster like Abreu who is now starting to you could see the confusion in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes – is that like sort of fresh meat on the savannah for you? Are you like a prowling lion? Heading
well,
toward
definitely, you know who's on deck. If he's on deck, you're not going to give in to the hitter before. If you got a guy slumping, or you've got him guessing or whatever, you're not going to give the guy in front of him much to hit. You'd rather attack that guy when he's struggling. So the pitchers definitely know it; they're aware of it, and obviously Abreu's aware of it. He's working on it, and he's trying to fix those things as well. So it may take a few games, and he may struggle a little bit longer, but he's too good of a pure hitter. He'll figure it out, and he's got way too much talent to stay in this kind of slump.
Kyle Schwarber and fans everywhere got good news today, some encouraging news, I should call it. The surgery on his left knee, apparently good reports, and the doctor says very happy with what he saw. That's good news for everybody.
Good. He's a great kid. I know he's working hard, and obviously he got his checkup today and got good progress reports, so he'll keep working hard and keep moving in the right direction. And, for us to to be playing the way we're playing without without Schwarber in the lineup and his energy every day is something special about this team. So,
hey guys, what about me? Hey,
I'm over here.
The bus is taking off. Wait, I'm over here.
They said he had one crutch and not two, and so they're very happy to see that.
Well, that'll be good. And listen, that's a tough thing to come back from, and you don't want to rush that stuff back either, right? No. And they told him. Even I don't think doctors could clear him for the playoffs, assuming they make them. So this is you got to wait till spring training and wait for the year and get the rehab in, right? I mean, that's the most
physically the rehab's going to be fine. He's going to be fine getting through the physical part of it. The mental part of the rehab, the mental part of not being able to play for the whole season and watch these guys do what they're doing is going to be the hardest part for him. And so the hardest part is still to come. They haven't made the postseason yet. He's going to have to sit around and watch them, you know, go play in the postseason and go win a World Series and not be able to be a part of that. So, but he'll be there next year.
It is crazy, though. I just cannot believe it. I'm sitting there last night, and generally on a summer night, 7 o'clock start, no matter where the team is, because it's Wrigley Field, people go. But there's also, because of that, and Kerry, I think you'll attest to this, so when the team wasn't playing as well, they would, you know, people are looking up, and there's that parade of the ladies around the, you know, the center concourse there, and, you know, there's just, something major happens,
social.
And there's a bit of a delay of reaction in the fans, but man, everybody's on the muscle as they're watching the Cubs. I mean, it's just amazing to see this engaged fan base and a very, you know, baseball literate, you know, group, Chicago
Absolutely.
Cubs fans are, because they've been waiting so long. They've studied every other team that's done something. So it really is fun to be
something
out there.
Magical.
You're right. They're chomping at the bit, and you can see it and you can feel it when you're in the ballpark. You can see it on TV when they're, you know, Lester was in the seventh or he might even been the sixth inning yesterday. He had two outs and two strikes on a guy. They're all up on their feet cheering, that's playoff atmosphere. And if that's in, that's already happening in June. It's going to be crazy rest of the summer.
Oh, the whole night last night was playoff atmosphere. It was interesting.
That energy.
Well, they want to get Lester through that little rough patch that he was encountering there. So it was like, but he got right through it.
He got through it.
It is amazing. It was sick. Yep. Isn't that what we say? He's got filthy stuff.
Nasty.
Filthy, dirty.
Dirty. Nasty.
The stinky cheese.
And that's all good, right? Yeah. When you say dirty, nasty, and filthy.
Yes. I think bad is good, I think, is how we just learned. All right, Kerry, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
All right, Kerry Wood.
You know, Lester pointed to the rowdy crowd last night after the win. Ro, were you leading the charge there?
Excuse me, could you sit down? I'm sitting. I'm trying to have my nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of that. No, it was great. I mean,
it was a good environment.
Oh man, it's fun. It's just like to be in a situation like that. I mean, it's sad because I was. You know, I went to go see Chris Sale at the Cell a couple weeks ago when he won his ninth in a row. And the place was 50% occupied.
Right.
And people were like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, and the team was hot as hell. They were the best team in the American – or at that point, second best team in the American League.
Well, Chris Sale was going for the 10th consecutive win. I think the crowd was 21, 24,000, something like that. Whereas, you know, Lester last night was pitching in front of
36,289.
There you go. 36,000 fans. And when the weather turns and pitchers are on and players are hitting and the Cubs are playing well, Wrigley's a pretty fun place to be.
Yes.
God,
so so rarely does it occur.
Right. The perfect storm.
But it reminded me of 84. I mean, that was the only problem.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to a lot of games in 84, and it was the same sort of atmosphere, and I was so excited about it.
Well, don't talk about that part.
Okay.
We're at such a high note.
I know.
Why did I bring that up?
So how about Lester the other night? That's great.
Well, Violetta wasn't even born in 1984.
Today. Wrigley's always a good time, win or lose.
Exactly. You weren't even born in 1984.
Oh, five years off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is like when my parents came back in 1909. We were in Whalers Park.
Right.
It's like, what? What's he talking about? All right. Here is Violetta Powder Medic with the WGN Traffic Travel Spots right now.